So you'll get to me again on WhatsApp so I can send it to them.
Yes.
Okay, so we have some interesting things to work on today. And primarily, one of the things I want to show you today is how much breadth one can get out of learning Be'iyun. Sometimes one thinks that you do Be'kius and you get the breadth, and you do Iyun and you get narrow. But if you do Iyun thoroughly, then you get an enormous amount of breadth in the Iyun as well. So when you've done 10 daf of Gemara Be'iyun, you haven't done 10 daf, you've probably done a few hundred daf of Gemara through Shas. So you'll see a good example of that today. So let's do the Gemara itself. I'm going to run through the first piece of Gemara. We've done it already, and then I'll do the piece of the second piece, which is where we'll focus today. So the Gemara, you'll remember, asked at the beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara asked, Kol Hani Lamali, why do we need all these different cases? Just say if there's a goy, if a goy has any kedek in a bechor, then the hilchos bechor that don't apply. Why do we need to give all these cases? If we were only told about the case of the lokeach, if you buy an ubar, a fetus, then I would have thought it, the reason that you're not penalized in that you have to give it to a kohen, even though it's not technically a bechor, that's the real issue. Maybe even though it's not technically a bechor, maybe you still have to give it to the kohen. So I might have thought it's because you bring it into kedusha that you don't have to. Avah mocher dekam afkalami kedusha. But if you sell this animal and you're taking it out of kedusha, we talked about is that kedusha Shabbos or is that kedusha Bechor, but you're taking it out of kedusha. I might have thought that you've got to you penalize the person and he has to give it to the kohen even though it's not technically a bechor. So why do you have to give me the added case of a Jew and a non-Jew are partners in an uber? Because you need to know that the Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. In some work cases, we've already seen the Mishnah does hold like Rabbi Yehuda in that there's an Isur Hanor by a Bechor. Even though a Bechor is only Kedushat Mamon, nevertheless, there's an Isur Hanor. You don't have any benefit from the Bechor until you do the pidyon. That is like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, but in this we're not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar who said, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if a non-Jew does have a share in the Bechor, that does not release the owner of the Bechor, the Jewish owner of the Bechor, from Chiyuv Bechorah. Kamash olam tipturim in a Bechorah, the Mishnah has to tell us that we don't. This Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Ba'mekabel lameli, and then, so why do I have to take the case of Mekabel? I get the mother on the basis that we share in, that I get a share in the calves. I don't really need, it's no different to the other cases, but I do need hanoten lo bekabala, that if I give it to a goy, that there's no chiyuv. Hanoten lo bekabala lamani, and why do I need that? It's trich, I need that. Salkadat achamino hoil v'ika behemah di Yisrael, he likan say, I might have thought that since the actual behemah belongs to the Jew, so you've given it to the goy to manage for you, and you are compensating the goy with a share in the babies, but the actual mother belongs to the Jew. So I might have thought there should be a knas. Why? Dilma ati lichlufi bebehem achrita, to discourage people from doing that because it's too easy for others to make a mistake and think that the laws of Bechor don't apply today or in that place or whatever, because he has a case of a Jew who owns an animal and he doesn't do Bechor. So we might get that. And we discussed last time that even though it's quite far-fetched that somebody would actually extrapolate to that degree, but the fact that to do something which doesn't look right is also a problem. We talked about Marit Ayin and so on. Kamashmanan comes to tell you that there's no knas, and in all these cases, there's no chiyuv bechora, there's no hilchus bechora, and there's not a knas that you've got to give to the kohen, even though there isn't hilchus bechora. You're entirely free. That's why we need all of these different cases. Now let's go into the next piece. Tanan Hatam, we have learned in Gemara Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bishavura and Ben Betera Matir Besus. The Gemara is now taking an aside. So this is something the Gemara often does, and you've often seen it. Anybody who's been exposed to Gemara has seen it many times, where the Gemara will move from case to case, not in a linear fashion. So this way we cover everything that there is to cover in Torah Sheba'al Peh. But if one were to do it in a very linear fashion, it would be very difficult, almost impossible to do. So the Gemara does it by a kind of hyperlinking, conceptual hyperlinking. We've been talking about the issue of selling a behemoth to a non-Jew. It's mentioned as an aside in the Mishnah. Afal pi she'eino rashai. Even though you're not allowed to sell a behemoth to a non-Jew. So the Gemara explores and unpacks that a little bit further and links it. This is a clear case of a hyperlink, if you can imagine that way. This is simply that in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, Afal pi she'eino rashai, imagine that's blue letters with an underline, and you can click on it, and then you come to the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, where you can get more information. But since we couldn't click in those days, and nor would the Gemara want to click, it does it by actually doing an aside. Let's go and explore that, and then we'll come back, and that's how we journey. Which is the normal way of doing it. If you think of how you used to drive, particularly when you were on a leisure trip. So in America, they used to take these car drives, these road trips. In South Africa too, people used to take road trips.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
In a country where Sunday is a Sunday.
Yes, in a normal civilized country. and then and sometimes over the holidays or whatever, people go away for a few days on a car, and you would wander. You know, you're going from place A to place B, but you'd see a side road, you'd see a mountain you want to go to, there's a sign that says a waterfall, so you'll go and you'll... That's how we explore. And then we come back. This need now that everything has to be mapped and everything has to be sequenced, and you've got to understand exactly how you're going from A to B to C to D. Now, sometimes it's not exactly how you're going. Sometimes you're simply... Sorry, you can just open that there for me. That's great. Hello, Max, come inside.
Am I too late?
No, you're not too late. You're late, but not too late. Come and sit down.
Thank you.
And just, I think, if you can share with somebody, I can get you a small one.
Yeah, you can.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
This is Max Castile, for those who haven't met nice Max yet.
Max.
So that adventure is just the normal way we work, and it's the normal way the mind works. The way we work now academically, where you've got to have a map that shows, and you exactly how the Gemara gets from A to B to C and what it is, and bullet points, and that's not the natural way that our mind actually works. Our mind wanders. It's natural for the mind to wander. It's normal for the mind to wander. Mental mastery is to be able to bring the mind back after it's done a bit of wandering, to be able to bring it back. The same as when you're traveling and you're driving. If you're not using a GPS, if you're using a GPS, you remove the opportunity for serendipity. Which is another word for hashgacha. You remove the opportunity for hashgacha. You're going with the way Google tells you to go, so you go where Google tells, but you don't have the opportunities that you have when you're just driving or walking on your own. You just decide, I want to just go down this road. It looks beautiful. It looks interesting. And that's when things happen. That's where you meet people. That's where you see things. And it's the same in Gemara when you're learning and with your mind. It's normal for the mind to wander. It's abnormal if you can't bring your mind back. So like, even at school when they teach children, don't lose attention, don't let your mind wander. You can't say don't let your mind wander. It's normal. The mind is very active and very imaginative. And as soon as you hear a word, you start thinking of other things, and you would be a very uncreative person if you didn't. You just listen to what they're saying, and your mind doesn't get it. The mind wanders. So what teachers need to teach children, which they don't, is just how to bring your mind back. It's okay, your mind's wandered, it's fine. That's great. What were you thinking of? I'd be quite interested to know. Tell us where was your mind? And now let's get back to what we're doing. The Gemara does that all the time. We wander off, we come back. And that way we're able to cover the whole of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So if we try to structure it too much, we actually lose the art of the way the Gemara operates. And here's a great example. So Tznan Hatam, this little piece of Tznan Hatam, if you can kind of almost put a parenthesis at the beginning of Tznan Hatam, we'll see where we would close the parenthesis, because we're leaving the main subject of Bechor right now, and we're going on to a side exploration of, hey, this that you mentioned about you're not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew, where does that come from? What is it? How does it impact? So the particular thing we're exploring, we don't go and learn that whole sugya in its entirety, but there's a piece of it we do. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, ben b'teira matir b'sus. There's a machloket there of Rabbi Yehuda and ben b'teira. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the animal has a broken leg, then you can sell it. Why do you think that is? So let's look at the Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, and limkor, Max, how are you with following Rashi inside?
I can't find it, sorry. What is that? Right here?
Oh, Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bishvura. Have you got that? Right. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bishvura. Limkor l'oved kochavim behema shenishberu regaleha. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sell to a non-Jew an animal whose legs are broken. Uvamakom shelo nechshedu al haravia. And we're not talking about cases where they're talking about sodomy and things like that with bestiality with animals. That's not the problem. So all we're worried about is that they're going to work with it on Shabbos. Uven Betera Matir Besus She'eno Sinbo Melacha, and Ben Betera, the next one, Ben Betera Matir, he allows by a horse. She'eno Sinbo Melacha, She'ebo Chiyuv Chatat, because a horse can't, we don't use a horse to do a Melacha on Shabbat for which there would be a Chiyuv Chatat, in other words, a Melacha Doraita. If you use your ox on Shabbos to do work, to plow or to drag something, that's an Issa Doraisa. That's, you're not allowed to do that. That's Behemtecha. But if you use a horse, it's normally not an Issa Doraisa. Why? Distam sus lirchiva omed. Because a horse usually is used for riding. It's not used for baggage. Donkeys are used for baggage, and camels are used for baggage, but horses are used for humans. V'harochev b'shabbat eino ela mishum shvut, she'achai nosei et atzmo. And if you ride a horse on Shabbos, that's a derabonah, because the horse is not really carrying you. In part, you carry yourself. And it's that halacha that we're going to explore today. And we use that halacha, for example, on the fact that in a town where there's no Erev, isn't that so, to carry a baby? That it's not a doraisa, so where there's a reason to, it's only Shabbos, and there's a tzurich, or illness or something like that, we allow you to carry the baby, because chai no se asatzmo. Depends how old the baby is, if the baby is able to walk or isn't able to walk. The idea of a chai no se asatzmo, that when you carry a person, you're not really carrying it, they're partially carrying themselves. It's a very strange thing. Until today, I've always struggled with it. But the fact is, you are carrying it, even if you're carrying an adult. The fact is, you're carrying him. He's not carrying himself. You're not supporting him, and he's walking a bit, and the fact is, you're putting him over your shoulder and you're carrying him, or you're putting him on a stretcher and you're carrying him. So what's chai no se atzmo? What does it even mean? So we're going to go into that today. The reason this comes in, half a second, and the reason this comes in here is because of the next piece, which we're not going to go into right now. Ibayalu, so the Gemara asks, Ubarma. So now we loop back to Ubar, to a fetus. Can you sell a fetus to a non-Jew? Do we say that's like Shavu, just as you can sell a broken animal because he can't use it for labor, so you can sell an Uber also. So the Gemara then goes on to a discussion about Uber, which we will come to. But right now, where we're stopping, where we're pausing and we're doing a little touring, is on this issue of Chai Nosei Tatzmo. So Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can sell a broken animal, an animal with broken legs. You can sell to a non-Jew, because it can't do work on Shabbos, so there's nothing to worry about. And you can sell a horse to a non-Jew, because even though it will do work on Shabbos, the kind of work it will do on Shabbos is not work which is asur midoraita. And therefore they didn't make the gezeira that you can't sell to a non-Jew. That's what the Rashi says. So we're dealing with the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Betera.
I have a little question, I'm sorry.
Sure.
So the idea is that if you don't sell an animal with a mum or an imperfection, it's because you don't want the goy to be using it.
Yes, so
on
we
Shabbos.
have halacha, that we don't want to sell the animal to the goy, because the goy will use it on Shabbos. And we've discussed over the past few weeks, I'll catch you up on that sometime, as to why we're concerned about that. The goy can do what he wants with it on Shabbos.
Right.
As to why we're concerned, but there is a concern about selling an animal to a goy on Shabbos, according to some opinions in the Mishnah. So that's what we're going to go into a little bit, this chayim lo seh et atzmo.
Is it a machloket? I mean, you've called it a machloket between Yehuda and Ben Terah. They're just saying two examples.
It's a good question. Thing. Why do I say it's a machloket? I say it's a machloket because the Rambam paskins that a shavura you may not sell, but a sus you may sell. So he's clearly paskining like Ben Terah. So the Rambam clearly learns that it's a machloket. That Rabbi Yehuda says you may sell a shavura. Ben Terah says no, a shavura you can't. A shavura you may not sell. But a sus you can sell. So it seems that it would be a machloket. Okay, so here I've printed out some Gemara in Shabbos and Rashi and Tosfos that we can have a look at. So let's work through it. So this is what the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalad Amud Aleph. Hamotzi behema chayav of lirushut harabim, bein chayin uvein shchutin chayav. The Brisa says, if you carry an animal in the rishus harabim, whether the animal is alive or dead, it's an issur d'oraisa, you're chayav. It's like carrying anything else, even if the animal is alive. Rabbi Nasan Omer al shchutin chayav. If it's a dead animal, you're chayav. Because that's like carrying an object. That's the origin. This Bryce is the origin of this principle of hachay noseh et atzmo. A living being can carry itself, and therefore that's not called carrying midorayis. So that's not called carrying, even if it's in Rosh Hashanah. And then the Gemara brings this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi and Ben Beseira, and on it Rashi there says the following. Matir besus lemochro lenochri, you're allowed to sell the sus to a non-Jew. Mipnei shemelechet hasus im hayadam oseota, because the melocha of using a donkey, if a man were to do that, en chayev alei chatat, he would not be chayev chatas. So a Jew rides a horse on Shabbos, that's not a doraisa. So that's important to know. That, for example, again, it's a shvus, and if there's a need because of a tzorech or because of a chole, then we would let a person ride a horse on Shabbos and go to the hospital or call the police or do whatever he needs to do, because that's not a doraisa. Dile rechiva oimed, because a horse is normally used for riding. V'achai no seet atzmo, and who rides? A human being, a living human being. And if the live human being is on the horse, the horse is not really carrying the human being, because in part the human being is carrying himself. Had asru limko behem agasa lenochri, and the reason that you're not allowed to sell a cattle to a non-Jew is mishum she'elo mishum schirut asur, is because, so here we've got a max, what we're afraid is if we let you sell it, you may lend it or you may rent it to him. So we want no transaction, no such transaction, so that you don't come to lending or renting. Vesus inami de mushil umuga, and a horse, even if you did lend it or you did rent it, so what? Labitsura doraita ika, it's not the end of the world. The non-Jew rides it on Shabbos, it's okay, it's a nisadurab, it would be a nisadurabon, and if it was a Jew. If it's a non-Jew, it's nothing. She'enzu melacha etzel asus, this is not called the melacha for the horse. The gabi yaz harak shvitat behema melacha ktiva, and for the isur of shvitat behema, this that an animal also has to keep Shabbos, is not a do melacha. Same as us. That what we've got to make sure that the animals don't do is an actual malacha, and this is not a malacha. And I underline those words, she'enzu malacha etzel asus, because those words don't appear in our Rashi. Rashi comes close to it in ours. In our case, Rashi emphasizes that there's no chiyuv chatas. Just compare the two Rashis. So in our Rashi, uven betera matir besus, have you got that? In the middle of three lines into our Rashi, uven betera matir besus, she'en osim bo melacha, she'yehei bo chiyuv chatat. With a horse, you don't do that type of melacha for which there is a chiyuv chatat, which means you don't use a horse for an isur d'oraita. The stam sus lirechiva omed, v'harochev b'shabbat eino elo mishum shvut, she'achayinu seet atzmo. That's our Rashi. The Rashi in Shabbos is a little different. And he adds the word She'en zu melacha etzel asus. Those words are going to be very important for us. She'en zu melacha etzel asus, because that's going to explain the whole concept of achai no se et asus. So Tosfot has a problem. Tosfot says, She'achai no se es atzmo, Teimelari, Re asks, Lama patu. Okay, chai no se etzatzmo, but why should that make it patu? Again, the horse has got, let's say a Jew is riding a horse on Shabbos. The Gemara has said, and Rashi has explained, patu because a chai no se etzatzmo. It's not nisu d'orais. Says Tosfos, there are a few ways we can understand that. D'i mishum shehachai meikal atzmo. If it's because the chai lightens his weight, I don't know how you can do that technically. But Rashi seems to mention it, and Tosfos brings it here. That the
chai think can, that you can shift your weight around.
To make the carry easier.
That's what jockeys do, is they find the best way that the horse can make it. Then you can shift, but an object
can't do that. And when you're riding a horse, you ride it, you know, with your knees, you're pushing the horse, you're giving some energy to the horse. So you're adding energy to the act of it. If it's because the chai makes the weight lighter, so what? So instead of it weighing 100 pounds, it weighs 80 pounds. So on 80 pounds are you potter? What is it going to, who cares how much it weighs, whether you're lightening the weight? So this is saying, if it's because of physics, doesn't work. And if it's because two people are doing the malacha,
two guys carrying a bench.
Yeah, there's the horse in this case and the rider. Then it's the same as two people carrying an item out in Rashut HaRabim. But that doesn't really work. Because two people carrying an item are potter only if neither could carry it on their own. Then we say they're both potter. So if it's a heavy table and they're carrying it in Rashut HaRabim, it's a long table, it's heavy, one person could never carry it. You need the two people to carry it, and the two people are carrying it, then neither of them are chayef. But if one person could carry it on his own, and the other's just supporting, just helping, but he's not really needed, then the first person is chayef. She'ein ha-nisa yachol nisa atzmo belo ha-nosei, va-nosei yesh bo koach le-nosei afilu ha-yamet. Because the rider can't do it on his own. He's just helping a bit. And the horse can do it on his own, even if the rider was dead. So the fact is, the horse is doing all the work. So either way, says Tosfot, it shouldn't work. Now, what's important, again, you remember I've said all the way through this series of Shirim that we're learning methodology as well. So when we're looking, she'achai nosei etatzmo, what is the reason that chai nosei etatzmo is part of? Look at the way Re works. There are two possible reasons. That's the way the Gemara reasons. That's the way the Rishonim reason. It doesn't just say, what is the reason, and let's kind of figure it out. Let's figure out all the possible reasons and eliminate the ones that don't work. So Tosfos says there are two possible reasons as to why chai no se etatzmo should be patur. That it's patur, we know from the Braita in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalet. We know that you're patur. We know there's such a thing as chai no se etatzmo, but Tosfos is probing the technology behind it. How does it work? If it's because he reduces the weight, since when does weight reduction cause for two? If it's because two people are doing it, not one, but the one who's doing it is not really doing it. The horse is doing all the work, and we know that. And the horse could do it by himself. And in such a case, the horse is chayav, or if there were two people in such a case, the one person would be chayav. V'omer Ri, so Ri gives a completely different reason why chayav no se etatzmo. And that is de mimishkan gamrina. We learn all the melachas from Shabbos, from Mishkan, as you know. There was no case of carrying a living being in the building of the Mishkan. And therefore there isn't an issa malacha. Carrying inanimate objects, there was a lot in the Mishkan. And therefore we know that's a malacha. But carrying an animate object, and there is a difference between an animate and an inanimate object, because chai no se etatzmo, the chai adds energy to it. We have no example of the Mishkan where that was ever done. Because the tchashim and the ilim, which they used for the skins, They walked themselves, nobody carried them. V'achalazon, even let's see, you might even think the chalazon for the tcheles. Miyada yupotzinot or terim yamut, they didn't used to kill it first and then take the dye. They would take the dye while it was still alive, which is interesting. Dekamadi, it's been the shamatvei nichale ki hechi delitz leotzivai, because the more the closer, the more that the chalazon is alive when you take the dye, the brighter the dye. So there's a hiddur in taking the dye while the chalazon is still alive. So I don't know how they do it now where they make tchelet now, whether they do it that way or not. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Apparently it's very near here. Is that right? Just near Tikhon Yaakov, the way they make the tchelet. It's very, very near here.
But we don't know what chalazon is.
Just up the coast. Right? Today they claim we do. And that's why you see people with the blue tzitzit stripe, because today they...
No, it was just a...
Chof tchelet.
No. They've rediscovered the chalazon. And it's just up the chof. It's very close here. It's half an hour away from here. And there's an industry there where they sell them. I think there's a store here in Achuzet that sells them. And I'm not sure whether it's taken while the chalazon is still alive or not, but that's how they did it. It says really, therefore there was no case where there was carrying an animal in the Mishkan, and therefore there's no malach of carrying an animal. That's the real reason of why Chaino says that's why it's potter. It's not because of any kind of physics. That's the Rashi and the Tosfos. So now I want to look at a brisker rov. So this is Velvel Soloveitchik, who lived in Yerushalayim. The last part of his life he lived in Yerushalayim and died about 50 years ago or so. And he says the following, B'gemorat tznan hasam, Rabbi Yehuda Mati Bishvura ben Betera Mati Besus. That's Al Gemara and Bechoris, right? Ufirish Rashi, Distam Sus Lirichiva Omeid, Baharachev Beshabas Eno Ela Mishum Shvut, Shachai Noseet Atzmo Adkan Loshon Rashi. Okay, everything okay. So once you've done this text inside, then it's easy to work through this. Vihikshe HaGrach, and Reb Chaim, that's the Briskerov's father, asked a question. So this is the Briskerov giving a shiur. These are notes from shiurim that he gave in Yerushalayim, and he quotes a question that his father had, a very simple, straightforward question. Da'anicha al ha'adam harochev atzmo, shachai noseet atzmo. So for whatever reason, Rashi or Tosfot, I understand that the person riding the horse is the horse is potter because chai noseet atzmo. Aval b'yesh lo ezech hafatzim b'kiso. But what happens if he's got something in his pocket? What happens then? So how can you be sure that when you sell a horse to a goy, it's only going to be used for a human who carries nothing in his pockets? That's unreasonable.
Well, you don't even have to get to the pockets, assuming that the human's wearing clothes.
So the Gemara says clothes are bottle to him. Clothes are part of the person, which is why we can wear clothes on Shabbos in the street and so on. So clothes are not considered a masui. But if you're carrying something in your pocket, or you have a briefcase with you, or whatever, you've got your computer, your cell phone with you, whatever it is, this is a goy that's riding it on Shabbos, then there would be an Issur D'oraisa gomo. So if you're worried about an Issur D'oraisa with an animal doing a malacha on Shabbos, if that's what you're worried about, and for that reason you can't sell it to the goy because maybe you'll rent it to the goy or lend it to the goy, and the goy might do a melacha on it. No, but if it's a horse, says Rashi, that's not a problem, because what could the goy do? Put a human on it, and a human on a horse is not a serious thing. That says Reb Chaim, a human with a cell phone is a human, is he? And where do you find a human without a cell phone now?
Or
says Reb Chaim.
Saddle.
Or the saddle underneath him. So I'm not sure if the saddle is bottled to the horse or not. Maybe the saddle is considered part of the horse because it's like a garment to the horse. Not sure. But certainly, if he's got a cell phone in his pocket, that would be an Issur D'oraisa. V'im ken atu neima shimishu yivdok et kisei hanochri shlo yesh abklum gam b'rechiva yesh b'masa. So what are we going to say? But if you sell a goy a horse, you've got to make sure that before Shabbos somebody checks the pockets of the goy before he rides. It's absurd, says the Reb Chaim. So he doesn't really understand how that works. And he leaves it with Tzarechi and he doesn't answer the question. Which is also interesting. Often we ask a question, don't always have to answer the question. The important thing is to is to ask a question. So now the Brisker Rov refers to the Tosfot we just learned in an attempt to answer his father's question. V'hinei b'Tosfot hikshu the hakaimelan ze yachol v'zeinu yachol the hayachol chayev. Tosfot asked that in a case where one is able to carry it on his own and the other is not able to carry it on his own, then the one who is able to carry it on his own is chayev. Right? Hachinami, so too, in the case of Tosfos, in the case of the horse. Hachai enu yochol lisa atzmo legamri. The rider can't carry himself completely. He can just make it lighter for the horse. V'hanose et hachai, but the horse who's carrying the chai, hare hu yochol lenasu afkashe she'en hachai nose et atzmo. He could carry the human even if the human was doing nothing, if the human was unconscious or dead. V'imkein hanose tzarif liot chayav, ayin sham, and therefore the horse is doing a melacha. That was Tosfos' question. Are we comfortable with that? Right. The Dano said, Chai no said, Atzmus as Tosfos doesn't work in this case of the horse. But Tiretz HaGrach, Sheze Yachol Vze Eine Yachol. So the Brisker Rov brings his father's answer to his father's question on Tosfos. And he says, Sheze yachol vaze enu yachol. I'm going to give it to you outside first and then we'll read it inside. It's a very fine, in typical Reb Chaim manner, it's a very fine distinction. And part of the reason I wanted to do this is for us to learn these fine distinctions and what clarity they can bring once we know them. Reb Chaim says, if you've got two people carrying a bench in the Rishus HaRabim, and neither can carry it on its own, clearly both are patur, because nobody's actually doing the carrying. Two people are doing the carrying, not one. If one person is doing the carrying and could do it on his own, and the other person is just helping along, and it's nice to have a helper, but I could manage without you, then the one who could carry on its own is chayev. Because, says Reb Chaim, the act of carrying a bench in Rishus HaRabim has been done. Now the question is just, was it done by one or by two or by half? And in this case, it's been done by one who's capable of and with the support of the other. But the bench has been carried. Chai no se et atzmo means, does not mean that two people are carrying the chai. It doesn't mean that, let's not even talk about the horse for the moment. Let's say I'm carrying a person in Rishus HaRabim. Put the person over my shoulder and I'm carrying this person in Rishus HaRabim. So I'm potter. Why? Because Chaim will say that's more. Says Reb Chaim, that's not because, even the way Tosfos wants to learn, that's not because I'm carrying him in part and he's helping me. And therefore Tosfos asks, but since I could carry him on my own, even if he was just cargo, even if he was dead, I could carry him on my own, I should be Chayev, so how does Chaim will say that's more work? No, says Reb Chaim, it's not about whether I could carry him on my own. That only works when two people are carrying a bench. In this case, since the chai carries himself somewhat, the act of carrying this cargo, this thing, isn't being performed. It's not the same. It's not the same action. The issue of carrying applies only with an inanimate object. If the object is animate, since the animal or the human assists in the process, that's not called carrying.
Or what if he's unconscious?
If he's unconscious, then it wouldn't apply. Then he would be chayav.
What about a baby that can crawl? So he can move, but he can't walk.
Still, that would be chayav. He can move.
So the issue is whether it's a move.
Yes, if it can be self-moving. So you know, we'll have these problems with these autonomous cars and things. You know, if you have an autonomous little car, can you carry it? But that needs some kind of human action. If you've got a being, an animal or a human, that can move itself, then carrying it is not called carrying it. It's a different activity.
It's really strange.
It's strange. It's very, very fun. Carrying is when the object you're carrying has no ability to, no mobility of its own, no inherent mobility. That's the issue of carrying.
Why should that be a factor?
Following the Mishkan. Because that was in the Mishkan.
Any case of tearing in the Mishkan was a case, and now you come into Sosa's answer, isn't that so? Any case of carrying in the Mishkan was a case of something which had no self-mobility. So it's not just a technical thing. So we didn't have a case of the Mishkan, so therefore it doesn't apply. It says, it's more than that, says Reb Chaim. It's not classified as carrying. Now, why that's important, why the classification is important, is because then Tosfos' question doesn't work. That is, when Tosfos says that if he's yachol, if he's able to carry on his own, that's talking where two people are carrying. And one could do it on his own, then it's considered that the one person did the carrying. But it has to be an act of carrying. If it isn't an act of carrying, that whole two-person, one-person thing doesn't apply, because nothing was carried. It was just helped along. Helped along doesn't matter whether you do 99.9% of the helping along or you do 5% of the helping along. The fact is, since it has its own mobility, all you've done is you've helped it along. It could have walked a little bit on its own. That's the meaning of Chaim HaSeir Asmo. So let's have a look at it inside the Reb Chaim, inside the Bishkirov. This discussion of can the one do it on his own without the other, or do you really need both of them, shayach rak hecha shehamlacha naaset kula ela al yedei shneihem she'asahu. That's where the melacha was done by the two. Al ze'amrin anda hayachol chayav. Then we say, but if one of the two could have done it on his own, he is chayav. Aval hacha mikivan she'achayin osei et atzmo. Then the actual act of carrying hasn't been done by anybody. It's not as if the chai carried himself a bit and you carried himself. It's not as if there's this chai and two people are carrying him and somebody else. The chai no se'ed atzmo means there's only one person carrying you, but you're not really carrying me because I'm carrying myself a bit as well. So it's not called carrying. That's the real problem. And there isn't a proper hotza'ah. This is not a case of carrying Rishut HaRabim. It's been partially carried and partially self-mobilized. And this is not a melacha. So how does this deal with Reb Chaim's original question? So Reb Chaim didn't give this answer. Reb Chaim, it's quite interesting. Reb Chaim asked one question locally. He asked a question here, and that is, what about the cell phone in the guy's pocket? That was his question. Reb Velvel, his son, says, Reb Chaim, Dad, remember the question you asked on the Tosfos and Shabbos? The answer you gave there answers here. Because you said that it's not a proper melacha. So now what about the cell phone? Who's carrying the cell phone? In a sense, the horse is carrying it in part, but also the chai is carrying the cell phone. So now the question is, so that's what the Brisketov wants to say, that the cell phone is kind of included in the carrying, and therefore it's not a proper carrying. The horse is not doing all the carrying. Because even if the horse wasn't carrying and the chai mobilized himself, the cell phone would go with him. So the cell phone also hasn't been entirely carried by the horse. Okay, so again, what we're looking at here is classification. You remember I mentioned in the shir a couple of weeks ago in halakha, classification is where all the work goes in. Once you've classified, it's easy. If this is a melacha, then you chayiv, and this, and chatos, and skila, and everything else comes automatically. The question is just, is this hotza'ah or isn't it? Says Reb Chaim, if two people are carrying, that is hotza'ah. The question is, who's chayiv for the hotza'ah? One or neither? One or both or neither. That's the discussion. Who's chai, but it is hotza'ah. You've carried the bench from here to here in Rishut HaRabim. That's hotza'ah. But when you're carrying a chai, that's not called hotza'ah shlema. That's not a proper act of hotza'ah. What you've carried was capable of moving itself, and therefore it's not hotza'ah. And we have no case of it in the Mishkan. That's how Reb Chaim wants to learn, and the Briskerov wants to say, and with that you can answer the other question of the cell phone in the person's pocket. That too would not be a complete hotza'ah.
See, on Tosfos' question, it comes out very nice, because when you two people are carrying an object, you'd agree with me that one's holding one side, one's holding another side, and the right. Two of them are carrying it. In this case, where Tosfos asked this question, his shaila is that the horse is carrying the human, and the human is also carrying himself.
Right.
And that's a ridiculous notion. That, not ridiculous, but it's a strange notion. That it would be saying that the bench, the thing that's being carried, and one of the carriers are the same
being.
Being, and that's where the Rukhaim doesn't hold.
That it is carrying.
That's called carrying. When one of the carriers is carrying.
Is the object.
Is carrying himself.
When one of the. Exactly, well, you've said it very well. When one of the people carrying is the object being carried, that's not carrying.
But that's not carrying.
Right.
So it works very well in Tosis's question where the issue is should foot. But I can see very clearly that where two people are collaborating, but one of the people is the object that's being collaborated on, and you can hardly call it a collaboration.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
That's a manipulation, not a collaboration.
Exactly. I'm not sure how you apply that back to the Rashi. Because in Tosis's question, his Shaila was on the issue of two people carrying a third object, and here there isn't a third object, the object is the person. Not sure how that works with a cell phone. Not sure how. I don't see how the answer works.
So you're thinking so nicely. So that is this piece. What we'll do now briefly, if necessary, we'll continue with it next week, but at least let's start with it. This is Reb Michael Feinstein. Remember, I mentioned him last time. Reb Michael Feinstein is Reb Moshe Feinstein's nephew, and he is the Briskerov son-in-law. So we've got Reb Chaim, the Briskerov, and the son-in-law. Now we've got three generations talking about the same material. And they're also Rabbeim and Talmud. The Briskerov is a Talmud of Reb Chaim, and Reb Michael Feinstein is a Talmud of the Briskerov. So it's on the one on Daf Kaf Vav, Amud Kaf Vav, Tesvav. That part of Rabbi Chil Michel we'll review next week, because we've done it outside. He explains it pretty much as I've just explained the Briskerov and Reb Chaim, but we'll do it inside because it's very clear. But the pieces where he asks what you're asking, Ilan, but he asks it with a little more lomdus than you're asking it. You're asking it with very, very sound logic. And he does it in a more brisker way. So you're doing it in a tells way. And here, Rabbi Chil Michel, why I love him so much, and says, I told you, I can't find his sefer, I've just got photostats. And his entire sefer is on the first parak of Bechoris. That's all they've published of him, I think, so far. Moshe was looking for it for me. But I enjoy him so much because he's a combination of the Derech HaGeoyim, which is like the Telzer approach, because he's had a lot of that input, and also the Brisker approach, and he infuses them well. So look at the Ulefi Zeh on the second page. Can you see? We'll do this, that one paragraph. Ulefi Zeh Nire. Have you got that, Philip, on the... that's on the Kaf Zayin page, the second page. There we go. Sorry?
In Kafav.
No, the next one, just then turn over at the top of that. Ulefizen. Based on what we've just been discussing, which is basically what he's explained, Nira Dev Shali Ashev Gam Hadik Shah Grach. So in the notes of the Briskerov, they don't refer back, and I think that's just an omission, just badly written. They don't refer back to the Briskerov, to the Chaim's Kashi and the whole thing. But it's implied, and he talks it out. The Hare Gambasus Tarik Lamecha Shiasu Ba Melacha Mishum Dev Shah Derochev Yesh Chafatzim Bikiso Babi Isurotza Bidoraita. What did the Reb Chaim ask? He asked, even with a goy, the horse, using a horse on Shabbos, we should worry that the rider might have a cell phone in his pocket or something else. Mishum Dikivan Dahachai Legabi Nesiyat Atzmoen Zet Surat Melacha Elavi Kemalech. I understand that the Chai himself can't be the object that is both the carrier and the object. That's not called carrying. Im ken amrin and the chol mashu nuseito afilo mashu enu tafelo mikri dezem halechimom mishum dezem nisam ikochol v'chaser b'tzurat malacha. So maybe everything that's with him, not only his clothes, but everything that's with him is considered also as part of that self-mobility. Since if he were walking, the cell phone would be going with him. The horse isn't really carrying the cell phone on its own. And you asked rightly, that's already quite a stretch. And Reb Michel comes to that stretch right now. And he says, in parenthesis, not so sure that this really works. So what he's doing here is basically saying, Briskerov, when your father asked a kasha and left it, you gave a very smart answer using your father's own chiddush. You think your father didn't think of it? You think you didn't think of it? It doesn't work. What you've just suggested actually doesn't work. Because Migmora Mufureshis Bashabis. Because there's a Gemara. Dita Hatam. Omar Rava, Hotsi Tinok Chai, Vekis Talui Betzavaro. A man carries a child, and the child is carrying a cell phone or something else, a bag around its neck. Chayev, Mishum Kis. You're chayev because of the bag it's carrying. Tinok mate v'kis talui lo b'tzavar patur. But if it's a dead child and there's a kiss on its neck, then you're patur for various reasons. Tinok chay v'kis talui lo b'tzavar chayev mishum kis. Ask the Gemara v'lechayev nami mishum tinok. So why aren't you chayev for the tinok? Rava, Rabbi Nathan relates because Rava holds like Rabbi Nathan on Daf Tzadi Dalet. The Amar Chayno said that's more. You're not chayev for the child because the child can carry itself. Ask the Gemara v'li batel kis legabi tinok. So let the pouch be botel with the tinok, be part of the tinok, the same as the tinok's clothes are part of the tinok. Let the pouch as well be. Mi lo tznan et achayev b'mita patur af al hamita shamita tfeila lo. That if you're carrying a chai on a stretcher, you're still potter, even though the stretcher is not nosa et atzmo. The stretcher is considered part of the person you're carrying. It's all one package. Mita legabi chai mevatel, says the Gemara. Yes, the stretcher for the chai is bottle. Kis legabi tinok lo mevatlile. But the pouch is not mevatel, because you can't carry the chai without the stretcher. That's why it's bottle. It's like an extension of your arm. You carry, that's what you're using, it's a tool you're using to carry the chai. But the pouch around the neck of the child, that's an accessory. So you see from that Gemara that it doesn't work for things that you're carrying. It only works for the chai itself. So Reb Michael Feinstein is not that sure that the answer of the Brisker Rav to the Reb Chaim's question, using Reb Chaim's own chiddush, that will work because of the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph. So we'll summarize. We'll read through the Reb Michael Feinstein next time inside, which will serve as a summary. We'll review it. We'll summarize it. We'll read through the whole Reb Michael Feinstein inside. But it gives you a sense of how the Achronim understand and how they unpack the Rishonim and how the Rishonim understand the Gemara, and the kind of fineness of thinking in Reb Chaim's trying to create a definition of carrying that will exclude the case of a chai, that it just isn't called carrying. And that's why I said that underlined word in the Rashi is so important. What did Rashi say then? Now you'll appreciate it. In the case of the horse, what did Rashi say in that piece that I underlined? She'en zu melacha etzel asus. This is not called a melacha. It's not just that you're not chai v'chatas. It's not called a melacha. This is not a melacha. So that the Reb Chaim's chiddush is implied in the Rashi itself. So we don't have a problem with Reb Chaim's chiddush other than Max, as you said. It's very fine and wow, really? And yes, as we work on and understand, and then Ilan, you articulated it really helpfully, that when the one of the people carrying is the object being carried, that's not called carrying. Because if it were, we would be carrying when we walk in the street, we're carrying ourselves. So clearly that when there is a self-mobility, that's not called carrying, and that's Reb Chaim's chiddush. No problem with that. The problem comes where the Brisker Rav wants to use that to answer Reb Chaim's question on the Tosfos altogether, and there Reb Michael Feinstein says not so sure it works because we've got a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph that seems to imply the opposite. That's where we leave it for today.
How about the driverless cars? We'll never be able to do that
because the driverless cars won't be fully. You'd fully always have to start it. You'd have to ignite it.
Right.
You'd have to do something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's full of sensors.
So whatever. It won't be the same. But it's at the end of the day, human being is a driverless car, isn't that so? That's what a human being is.
It's we've seen that even something that has the potential to move is included in the heter. So if you had a baby that hasn't even yet learned to crawl, This is an example.
So that we're machmir on. A baby that can't walk, we're generally machmir on.
So it actually has to be able to move.
Yeah, to be so. And then we also get an example from this of how much that we've covered. We're learning Bechoros, but we've learned the principle of Shabbos, of Chayinu Seth Asma, which is an important principle in Hilchot Shabbat. We've got a very clear definition of what it is and why it is. That's what's really important. Something we wouldn't really get if we were just learning Hilchot Shabbat. We probably wouldn't get to that unless we were doing that Gemara very carefully. Why is Chayinu Seth Asma? What is the reasoning behind it? We've got Rashi, we've got Tosfos, and we've got Reb Chaim refining the Tosfos. And we've done two pieces of Gemara as well, a piece of Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalet, a piece of Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Aleph as well. Okay.
Seeing as we're going to see this Gemara when we get to Avodah Zorah, why do we have that little detour? Something we just wait till we get to Avodah Zorah. And he says, Gemara, the idea of quoting pieces of Gemara, I understand whether it's a question on Sunday we're learning, but the concept of it being a detour, let's just say, so you're going on a
because it's coming back right to the next little piece where he says, what about Uber?
Oh, okay. So it's an Uber like a Shmura. Okay, yes. Yeah. So we have to quote it to get to understand
what the question is.
Next thing. So it's not just a detour for a detour's sake. I think that's the point. It's a detour that will help you on your main. Yes. It will make your whole trip
and
more.
And it doesn't always. You'll find many cases where the Gemara goes. It just, you're talking about a particular Tana, and that Tana happens to say a whole lot of other things too. So while we're talking about that Tana or that Amora, let's deal with some of the other things he has said. And sometimes you can find a common thread in all the things he said, but sometimes it doesn't appear to be one. The Gemara just goes on to the other side, and then it gets back to it and continues. The power of Peter. Yeah. Thanks.